Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Thank you, Ramon.
Great to see you, Karen.
I think I created what I said I didn't want to create, right? I went ahead and just, that's a power pod. So welcome, welcome. We're going to start this morning with a beautiful meditation. We did it last week, and we're going to do it for, we may do it for a while here, and I was initially going to record it and let you have a copy to work with, but I think for now, I want to make sure everybody's really stabilized with their ishta before I give you the recording. For now, we'll do it with me, but I want you to know that the patterning of this meditation, in its own beautiful way, is everything that this program wants to teach you about meditation. Well, okay, maybe not everything, but a lot of it is right here. There are techniques from all traditions that are being used here. There's the use of the energy body, the chakra system. There's tantra. There's visualization. There's so many levels. And I don't want you to necessarily understand them all yet. Well, as we go over them during the training, I'll explain to you how they're being used here. But this is how I look at this meditation. And my hope is that you will get here too, which is that I literally look forward to this as if it's just a beautiful treat that I get to sit down and do and have. It's a refuge away from everything else. And so I don't know what that is for you. It may be like Agnieszka said at the beginning, it's just she wants to feel about meditation like she does about sitting out with that cup of coffee. And to me, that's exactly how I want all of us to feel. And I'm going to, from the bottom of my heart, try and help you find that of meditation. So it's not a have to, it's not a drudge, it's not a one more thing I didn't do. It's not any of that stuff. It's a place that you get to sit and you get to feel, oh, I get to do this now. It's like that secret moment where you finally get to sit down and read that little chapter of that book you've been waiting to read. You know how that good that feels? Or everybody's gone to bed and you finally get to go sit down and watch that show that you can watch now in peace. It's like, I feel like that about This Is Us. Don't judge me. But I love that show. And Tuesday nights, I finish meditation. Ramon knows, Agnieszka, they're in the class. And you know what I do? I go in my house and Bill's in bed. He goes to bed and I sit there and it's like my sacred carved out space, right? And that's how we want to feel about meditation is yes, here I go. Oh, I get to have, even if it's just a couple minutes. Oh, yes. So what I'm going to invite you to do is with this meditation right now that I'm going to lead you through is look at it like, okay, I'm sneaking in this little lovely moment and I'm going to give you permission wherever you are with your ishta, just show up for that, okay? Because it's a very complicated technique. There's a lot to it. But the main gift of it is literally just attuning and being bathed in the grace of your ishta. So whatever your ishta is to you, that's a quality you get to bathe in right now. Okay? So let's put a smile on our faces and go, yeah, okay, I get to do this. And let's find a seat. And for this, you can be comfortable, but we do want your spine straight because we're going to be working with the chakra system. So comfortable, like maybe you can sit for about 10, 12 minutes. There we go. I love seeing everybody get ready. And then on your own now, just drop your attention into your seat and use that initial breath, that initial grounding to help you become present right here, right now. And take just a couple more minutes to bring your attention to either sensation in the body, sound, or your breath. I'm going to give you about, you know, just another 30, 40 seconds to bring yourself present right here, right now. And now see if you can bring into your being that feeling you have right before the movie starts, when you go to the movie theater, the lights go down. Or right before you get to sit in the morning and it's quiet and it's just you and your coffee. Or that moment of you get everybody is quiet or gone or asleep, and it's just you, and you get to do what you have been wanting to do all day long. And with that feeling in our hearts, in our bodies, a feeling of anticipation, a little bit of, you know, secret delight, let's begin. And so what I'd like you to do is to imagine that you are climbing the mountain. It's a high, high mountain. You may know the mountain. It may be a new mountain. But either way, we're climbing. We're climbing. We're ascending up this mountain easily and quickly. And we're going to reach that point about halfway up where we see a path. We see something, and we can hear that waterfall that we've come to know. Some of you have come to know. But you hear a waterfall and you follow the path until you find the waterfall. And there it is. There it is. And it is the color of purity. Whatever that is for you right now, take that color. There's no wrong color. It's the color of purity. And you easily, effortlessly stand in the middle of this waterfall and allow these waters of light to wash down over your whole body. And let's enjoy it. It's like you're standing here in the waterfall. You might even hear the sounds if you've ever been in a waterfall. It's almost like an om sound. But instead of the pounding of water, it's the gentle caress. It's the gentle, gentle movement of this light over your body, soothing you, caring for you. And then this light, you allow it to begin to flow down through the crown of your head. We call it the thousand-petaled lotus. And as this light flows in through the top of your head, let it just wash down through your body, through your arms, and let it flow out through the palms of your hands and your fingertips. Let it just flow through you, washing out through the soles of your feet and the tips of your toes. And allow it to find the places of heaviness, darkness, negativity, and wash them out. And all you have to do is, you just stand here and let the light, the wisdom, the inherent wisdom of this light, this consciousness, to free you of these areas of imbalance. And so if you can, allow yourself to really just sense that there are pockets of energy that are being released from your being. And see if you can imagine or sense that they are literally leaving you, dropping out beneath you. And those places are now being filled with this purifying light. And this light fills you. It fills you. It fills all the places that have been cleared out. It fills all the cells, the spaces between the cells. And you become this radiant, pure light. And then now effortlessly, you ascend up through the waterfall. And as you come up through the top of the waterfall, you see the top of your mountain. And you float. You ascend up to the top of your mountain. And your Ishta is waiting for you here in this high place. And greet your Ishta. Greet your Ishta. And then both you and your Ishta lift a little bit higher. A little bit higher. And as you float here, your Ishta comes to a position where we call it the Mars chakra, the Manipura chakra, the island of jewels, which is the navel center, is at your eye level, the level of your sun center. And now, with your Ishta in front of you, slightly above you, so that your Ishta's navel chakra is at the level of your sun center, bring your attention back to your being, this light that's radiating from all parts of you. And bringing your attention to your legs, to your arms, to that central channel that runs through the center of your spine, the tiny tube that runs through the center of your spine. And I'd like you now to begin to bring your attention to the soles of your feet, the tips of your toes. And as you inhale, draw the energy from your feet up through the legs, up into the thighs, up into your torso. And as you exhale, all the energy in your legs is now in your torso. And if it takes a couple inhales, that's fine. And then bring your attention to your arms and your hands, your fingers. And the next time you inhale, begin to draw the energy from your fingers into your palms, up your arms, up, 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 up. And as you exhale, drop all the energy of your arms into your torso. And then take a moment to sense that all of that energy is now, that radiance is now condensed in your torso. And what we're going to do next is I'm going to ask you to inhale. And as you exhale, I'm going to guide you to just compress all the energy in your torso into your spine. So when you're ready, take an inhale. And as you exhale, just sense that all the energy in your torso is compressing, condensing into that tube in your spine. And it is now running from your tailbone all along your spine. And then bringing your attention to the bottom of your tailbone, we call it your Saturn chakra, your root chakra, the Muladhara chakra. Begin to draw that energy up the center of the spine. And as it pulls up, all of the energy becomes a little ball of light. And you pull it up past the lower back. And just gently draw it up so it's coming up to the navel center, but we're in the spine, we're in the spine. And then just keep drawing it up the spine, just sensing whatever you can sense. Let it come up to the heart center. And continue drawing it up past the heart. Drawing it up into the neck, up to the throat and past the throat, up to the very center of your head. And then very gently take that ball of light and project it forward to your sun center. And here at your sun center, we're going to just lift it along the outside of your forehead, up to the thousand-petaled lotus. And now we're going to drop it down along the outside of the spine, down past the moon center, which is just at the back of the skull, past the neck, the throat chakra, down past the heart chakra, the island of jewels at the navel chakra, past the lower back, back to the root chakra, the muladhara, and then come back up the spine. Past the lower back, the navel, draw it up through the heart, throat, the center of the head into the sun center, and again, up along the forehead, through the thousand-petaled lotus, down along the back of the head, past the throat, the heart, the island of jewels, the lower back, the root chakra, and coming back up, the lower back, through the island of jewels, through the heart center, the throat chakra, up to the sun center, and one more time, along the forehead, through the thousand-petaled lotus, past the moon center, at the back of the head, down past the throat chakra, the heart center, the island of jewels, the lower back, the root chakra, and then come back up through the center of the spine, past the lower back, through the island of jewels, through the heart chakra, the throat chakra, and come back up to the sun center. And now, with your Ishta in front of you, radiating the grace and the blessings, the darshan of your Ishta spilling towards you, just radiating towards you, send that ball of light from your sun center, just project it forward into the island of jewels of your Ishta at the navel, and then let it rise up through your Ishta's heart center, throat center, and up through the top of your Ishta's head, where it flows out as a fountain of golden white light that arcs towards your thousand-petaled lotus and flows into your thousand-petaled lotus, and then down through the moon center, the throat chakra, the heart chakra, the island of jewels, the lower back, and the root chakra, and then it comes up again. Past the lower back, the island of jewels, up through the heart, up through the throat, up to the sun center and back to your Ishta's island of jewels, and up again into the heart, the throat chakra, up through the fountain at the crown of your Ishta, arcing towards you, back to your thousand-petaled lotus, and down we come. Past the throat chakra, the heart, the island of jewels, the lower back, the root chakra, and up again. Up again, drawing it up to the island of jewels, through the heart center, the throat, up to the sun center, and one more time projecting back to your Ishta's island of jewels, lifting up to your Ishta's heart center, throat chakra, up through your Ishta's crown, and through that crown, that blessing arcs down into your thousand-petaled lotus and flows down. Down into the throat chakra, the heart chakra, the island of jewels, the lower back, the root chakra, and then gently lifting back up through the island of jewels, the heart center, the throat, And then come to the sun center and rest here now at the sun center with this radiant ball of light. And now this ball of light lifts up along your forehead, up through your thousand petal lotus, down through the moon center, through the throat, the heart, the island of jewels, the lower back, the root chakra, back up again. Up through the island of jewels, the heart, the throat, up to the sun center, and then again along your forehead, through that thousand petaled lotus, and down along the outside of your spine, past the moon center, the throat chakra, the heart chakra, the island of jewels, the lower back, the root chakra, and up again, past the lower back, through the island of jewels, through the heart chakra, the throat chakra, up to the sun center, and one more time, up along the forehead, through that thousand petaled lotus, down along the outside, past the moon center, the throat, the heart, the jewels, the lower back, the Saturn chakra, and rest here. And just let the connection with your Ishta dissolve. And you rest here. All of your energy, all of that darshan, all of that blessing contained within you. And as you rest here, allowing yourself to be saturated and bathed, caressed and nurtured in the darshan of your Ishta, know that this is this energy, this blessing, this gift is yours always, eternally yours. And allow yourself now to simply rest. For a few moments, in this radiant blessing. If the mind wanders, just come back to the sensation in your body. Bring to mind the quality your Ishta represents, the embodies. And if you want to, if your body's a little uncomfortable, go ahead and just relax back. Jaw is soft, shoulders soft. And then let yourself come back to the earth plane. So imagine yourself, you know, we're kind of floating back at the top of the mountain mentally. Allow yourself to come back, to descend back to where you're sitting, to the room you're in, to the earth. And when you feel ready, take a nice gentle breath into the heart center. Feel the opening. And as you exhale, let the whole body soften around that opening, holding that openness. And if you'd like to kind of just squeeze your arms and legs, bring yourself a little back into your body, I'd like you to just take a few moments to write in your notebook or your phone or your computer, whatever you're using, what you experienced just now. All right, everybody. So, however you want to do it, if you can make sure to be able to find this, because at some point we're going to come back to this reflection you just wrote and use it as kind of a baseline to see what we've learned. Because there's a lot of this meditation that we just did that is, you know, some of you were, it was, oh, familiar. Some of you, it's still very new. This whole Ishta thing is a little new. And my hope is that down the road, this meditation is in a funny way going to represent everything you've learned. It's going to represent everything you've learned and the growth you've made. And so wherever you are today, I would like you to be able to find it when a bit down the line, when I say, okay, now remember that? And I remember the day. Oh, it's my daughter's birthday. It's April 18th. Oh my gosh, I got to send her a birthday happies. All right. It's April 18th. Now I will never forget this. And we're going to come back to this. Okay. This is like your baseline. So what I'd love to do before we move on to the next thing, we've got quite a few different things to do today, is does anybody have any questions about what we just did? Or anything that you really would like a little bit of input with about on for?
I just have a question. So I had a really hard time this morning, and I don't usually have a hard time getting into it. So if this is baseline, you're telling me.
That's great. You got nowhere to go.
usually I can get in. I felt rushed this morning, but, so
Well, don't worry about it. I mean, it's, and Kathleen, on some level, what's so beautiful about that is this, you know, part of our learning is going to be to show up exactly how it is every time, right? It's going to be different every time. Yeah. And so in a way, that's beautiful.
Okay.
So yeah, it's beautiful. It's, and that's okay. It's okay.
All right. Good.
Okay. Yeah. It's okay.
The place to go is up now.
Yeah. And don't lose track of the fact that every time we have experiences like that, they still contribute to our becoming more balanced and more stable. They still contribute to that, especially if you can look at the, oh, wow, that didn't work, with a sense of, that didn't work. Okay. Moving right along.
Right.
Let's move
right on.
No angst, no right? That's the growth place. So,
well, I'm trying to use these new cushions. I, April was very kind to meet me the other day and get some of your cushions. And so, I thought I had it all set up, but it's going to take some more futzing, I think, to get the right cushion.
You see the nods? It's like, it is not easy to get the cushion situation. It takes time.
Yeah.
It takes time. So. Welcome.
Thanks.
So anybody else, any comments, questions about what your Ishta? Yeah, Lisa Pruzek.
Well, I tend to get a little hung up with the navel thing into the sun center. I get stuck
right
there. And I
ask a question.
Yeah.
Oh. All right.
Agnieszka, was that something about what Lisa was saying?
Can you guys hear me?
I can hear you. Yeah. Okay. Agnieszka, can you hear? I think she's having trouble hearing.
Now I can, but I couldn't before.
Your connection is unstable. I'm going to send her a thing in the chat. Lisa, don't lose track of what you were going to say.
Okay.
Keep hold of that. Let me just put it to her in the chat that, just so you guys all know this, I think I've told you this already. I have a designer I work with for, a graphic designer, and she lives way in Eastern Oregon, which is already very remote. And she's just outside of the city. So they have, all they have is dial up DSL. Did you remember that still exists? And so her success is she uses her phone as a hotspot and it works. So what I've learned is if you're having trouble with your internet, go to your phone as a hotspot. That's what I'll do sometimes even here. So, okay. So Agnieszka, can you hear us? Is it better? Okay. So let's let Lisa finish. Did you have a question about what Lisa was saying or a different question?
I didn't hear Lisa.
Okay. So let's let Lisa finish her question and then we'll come to you. Okay. Great. Okay.
Okay. So I was sharing that when we get to that point where the Ishta from the belly button is sun centering to us, I start getting in my head. I'm like, okay, that's weird. What is the level about? I don't understand. So it pulls me right into my head and I want to start analyzing it and I have judgment about it. And then I start judging the judgment.
Do we love you or what? Did you write all that down?
Yep.
Yes. Awesome. Well done. I'm very, very impressed. Good job.
Oh,
good job. Yes, it is weird. And first of all, when the Ishta is not coming to us, we are going from our sun center to the Ishta's Mars center.
I thought Ishta was beaming us first.
Nope. Nope.
Okay.
See, this is why questions are so good. And we're not going to get too into it because this is a little further down the line when we get into the whole chakra system. But this is about the Ishta that you are pulling the energy up from your chakra system, your energy being to your sun center, which is your highest, most balanced place. And we're projecting it into our Ishtar's Manipura, Island of Jewels. So that alone will help. That alone will help, right? And so it's like, why is my Ishtar's Mars center projecting into me? This is not right. Okay. But so let me just say this to help with that. In the chakric system, in the yoga chakric system, and I'm not sure if it translates over exactly to Buddhist, but close enough for the belly button is the level of consciousness that we have incarnated into on the earth plane, which is why we are attached to our mother at the umbilical cord at the navel. So that in a way, that is symbolic of the level of consciousness we all come in with on the earth plane. Mm. Now we have chakras below, right? We have the Svadhisthana, the chakra at the lower back. We have the Muladhara at the root chakra. Don't worry about those names yet. We'll deal with all this later. And there's even lower ones. But it's our evolution is about going from the Mars level, the Martian level, the Island of Jewels at the navel, up to the heart, up to the throat, up to the sun center. I'm going to stay in the screen there. So we're moving up. And these are known as the higher chakras, right? That we are all aspiring to attune to, I don't want to say reach because that's the wrong word. And so when we are moving our energy from our sun center to our Ishtar's Island of Jewels, that is a very symbolically a really profound, it's like you're connected to your mother at the navel. You're connected to your Ishtar at the navel. It's that, I don't want to, either get it or you don't. And we'll talk more about it later. And then we're moving up. Your Ishtar, remember, is a part of you. Your Ishtar is the eternal, that part of you that is already all of this. And so then we're moving up through our Ishtar's higher chakras. And then from the crown of our Ishtar, that fountain that pours into your thousand petal lotus, that's all of the darshan, that's all of the blessing. And it's the darshan, the blessing is, it's more than just grace. It's power. It's eternal wisdom. It's giving you all of that. Your Ishtar's essence is being transmitted to you. And then you bring it down through your chakras. And then once you've done that, you ground it once again. There's a lot of symbolism in the threes and all of these things, which we'll go into in more detail once you understand we've gone through the chakra system. And we're not going to be doing that till the summer, okay? So for now, the main thing to know is that it's you're attuning to the highest levels of you. And you're lifting up out of the realms of fear and worry and hate and anger, and you're tuning to those levels that are about harmony and balance and compassion and wisdom and truth. See what a good question does? I didn't know if I was going to tell you all that, but you ask the question and you get an answer. And it was a great question. Did it answer enough?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Okay. Agnieszka. Brenda, I see you. We'll get you next. Yeah.
So thank you for saying what you just said about, how we're trying to lift out of levels of fear and because I was in the fear, in a level of sadness and fear very much this morning. So it was very challenging to go anywhere out of there. Oh. But critical questions. One, I remember last week, I think when you led us through this meditation, you said, you know, we're hiking up the mountain, and and I did quite an amount of backpacking. And so I always visualize like a small mountain covered with grass, no rocks, because I had some experiences in the high mountains when, you know, I went into a, you know, it was very kind of extreme and fearful. And you said, go to a high, high, high mountain. And anytime I hear it, I'm like, okay. So I almost don't want to go to a high rocky mountain. That's what I visualize, you know, it's usually dark there because it's beautiful, but there were fearful experiences. So that's, I found it very interesting how this, I know I want to lift high, but it's scary.
That is beautiful. It's beautiful. And I'm so grateful you shared that. And yes, 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 and yes. All you need to do is notice it right now. Eventually, I don't know if we're going to get here in the summer or the fall, but we will go into in the mountain meadow water meditation, right? And really break it down so that you know it and that you can teach it, but mostly so you can do it for yourself. But do I say this now or do I wait? I'm going to say it now because you'll probably half of you forget it anyways. But kind of like the punchline is this is all in your imagination. So if we're struggling up this mountain in our imagination, we get to look at that and go, why am I struggling? How come I don't just float up? And so what I will, and there's a place for that, right? But in this meditation, and I purposely did it quickly because there are, anybody's done mountain meadow waterfall, and I think most of you have, there's the tendency to want to go back to that, right? That more hiking up the mountain thing. But for this, we just want to get to the waterfall, right? We just want to get to the waterfall and do this purification technique. And then from the waterfall, we want to ascend. And it's not about the literal mountain. It's about your high place.
Okay.
And did you notice we lift? We're not connected to the mountain. We lift. So we have literally risen above this realm into a realm that we can't touch physically to have this transmission from our Ishta. So it's highly symbolic. And what we learn in meditation is that your being, not your mind, speaks in symbols. It doesn't speak English. And so when we do a visualization like this, this is a powerful way of communicating with parts of you that you can't communicate with words, which is why it's so important. I give as broad a symbol as I can so that you make it yours. And what's important for all of you that, and for me too, believe me, it was years of doing mountain meadow waterfall before I realized, I don't have to struggle up these rocks. Hey, this is my imagination. Hey. And it coincided with, as I was balancing a lot of my heavier karma, and that realization came that, this is my mind. I can make this as easy as I want. Why struggle? And so that's the, you know, one hand we want to pay attention to our symbols. On the other hand, we have the power to is transmute the right word or to, maybe it is, by by doing things. Oh, Karen, I am getting so far afield. Oh my God. My God. I'm going down a bunny trail, but I'm going to do it quickly just because it feels like the right thing to say, which is that do never, never underestimate the power of the symbols in your mind to help you transform and overcome your obstacles. And one of the trainings, we're not going to really get into it too much in this, in the first level of the teacher training. We do it more in the second level. But when you work with your dreams, it's like you've all had bad dreams, right? And what they say when we're going to work with our dreams is, well, whoa, that guy's chasing me. Oh, you know, it's, I'm terrified, blah, blah, blah. Whoa, okay. You become part conscious of the dream. You go in and you redo the dream. Redo the dream. And the powers of those symbols is actually more important than sitting there talking about it and having, it's like you're working literally on the subtle realm. You're changing things on the subtle realm. So if you are in a visualization like this and you say to yourself, huh, I'm really struggling with this. This is scary. That's a huge moment to go, okay, well then let me make it not scary. Let me make it not scary. Let me make it safe. That you are changing things deep within your being, not just your conscious mind, but deep within you. So that was a bit of a, but I hope it was worth it. I hope it was worth it.
So do I change? So do I change the
change the symbol?
Do I change the symbol? Do I change the mountain or the way I go up?
You get to choose.
I get to choose. Okay.
You get to choose. Okay. You can change the mountain to make it one that's easier, or you can change and just have an attitude. This is totally safe. This is my mind. I can fly to the top of the mountain if I want to, you know?
Yeah.
That, yeah.
Yes, thank you.
Great question. Great question.
I have another technical question.
Okay.
Okay. So, Hangso, when you work with the breath, you, and with my asana practice, I often, when I, you know, you move with your breath. When you lift up, you inhale, things like that. So as you were, so in the rotation today, I found I was struggling with, my breath was shorter than your guidance.
I did
so
not.
So I kept trying to adjust my.
Yes, don't worry about that. The only place I tried to guide you breath-wise was pulling the energy into your limbs, right? And then pulling it into the spine. The rest of the rotation, there was no breath guidance.
No breath. Okay.
That's, don't worry about that.
It's just my habit that I need
exactly.
to let go.
Exactly.
You.
So let go of that. It's the breath is not a part of this.
Thank
Great
you.
Question. Because any of you who've done rotations are used to coming up with the breath, down with the exhale, and that's mm-hmm. not what this is.
I had the same experience, Agnieszka. I was almost waiting for the guidance to come up. And when it wasn't coming, I was like, okay, I'm just doing it, the visual. I'm not adding the breath to this. And then once I let that go, like the need to do that, it was easier actually. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Okay, great. Okay. All right. Wow. A lot of great questions. Brenda.
Well, that was actually my question, was about breathing. It was exactly the same thing. But I think what happened was in the beginning of it, you were doing something about breathe in and it go up. And I was like, oh my God, I don't have enough breath for that. And then I was like, so I was, you know, and then I was like, okay, then I just let it go. Same thing. So I realized this is not, once you stopped kind of giving that, then I was like, oh, this is totally different. So I had the same thing, April, that you were saying.
So let me clarify something right now. Permission, write it big letters somewhere. If anybody ever is giving you instruction to do something of the breath that your breath can't do, well, then use two or three breaths.
Right.
right?
One would think I would logically figure that out, right?
No, it's not. First of all, you're Capricorn. Second of all, Capricorns want to follow the rules. They want to do it right. But second of all, we want to follow the instructions because we don't want to fuck it up, right? And there's enough myth out there that if you do a meditation wrong, especially when we're working with rotations, which we're working with Kundalini energy, we're working with getting that anything in the spinal energy, those things. There's just, you know, there's this concern that I could do something wrong and it'll damage me, you know? And so first of all, there's nothing I'm going to teach you that's going to damage you, number one. And number two, you get to be in your body and breathe. it's just, and it's one of the hardest things about being a teacher is remembering to give people permission to breathe at their own pace. Mm-hmm. And they'll catch up, right? So thank you.
And the other thing I'll share very quickly that might bring some peace of mind about this mountain thing. And now my little thing makes more sense. I can't stand the idea of climbing a mountain. I've never done it really, and I would be petrified. So my instant go-to whenever you say you're going to just make the mountain easy, this will crack you guys up. If you've ever seen the show Price is Right, and they have that little mountain game where the little climber goes up and it's all mechanical, but he just goes step by step by who gets the right answer, right? That's the first thing I think of. And then it morphs more into like more, I guess, normal symbols. But that's what I think of because it's not me. It's this little guy on this little thing getting this.
That's cute. Work with your mind. Work with what works for you. Yeah. These are great questions. Anybody else got a question?
Probably not a question, but in terms of my experience this morning, like this was a kind of a weird week for me. I felt off overall. I think I understand why, but so when I did the meditation this morning, I felt like I was just kind of dragging along, like I was just bumping and dragging and I was hitting the mountain and I was just sort of bumping along and the waterfall probably, you know, just everything was just bumping me along. But at the same time, what I have to say is that I couldn't bring myself to do any reading until yesterday. So of course I did all the reading except for the last chapter that I had to skim because I realized, dude, you have to get up at freaking 4 in the morning tomorrow to be ready for this freaking meditation immersion thing. So off. And it was. So I realized that I had the last chapter of the reading because we was really useful also. So I'm going to have to reread that. But in light of the readings, it all still intellectually, I guess, if that's the word I can be using, because you've talked about the intellectual path, it all was making sense nonetheless. As I bumped and dragged along and fell and was just like grating around on following the meditation, there was it was still making sense. Like, okay, I do from that reading kind of see, you know, the point of this and how you would get there. Something like that.
Nice.
That's not a question. I don't know what that is, but anyway.
It was input.
Input. Okay.
Input. Yeah. Yeah. Great. Thank you. Lisa.
I just had a weird, just a little thought when we were meditating and drawing up all the energy to our core and in our fingers to our core. Immediately I felt really fat. I felt too fat and too big and too bright and too loud. And I didn't like sitting in that space. And I felt so much better when we could compact it and organize it and just stick it all away in a nice place. And I don't know what that means, but I'm trying to figure it out.
Don't try and figure it out.
That's weird. Okay.
It's weird. Here's what I want you to do. You wrote that down in your journal, right?
Yeah.
And this is what I want you to do. I want you to just stay with, wow, that was interesting.
That was interesting. I forgot that part.
No, of course you did, right? I mean, this is new. And that is not uncommon what you just experienced. When we become more aware of our subtle body, our subtle energy, it can feel, there's literally teachings about this. Sometimes you can feel way big. So I have a friend who she just feels like her hands become like these huge, huge. It's everybody has a different experience. And what I want to offer you sincerely is to look at these. Don't try and figure them out. Simply go, isn't that interesting? And trust the experience. And trust the experience. There's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. You've done nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong here. It's just an experience. It's just an experience. Which is a big right there, right, Lisa? That's big, just right there.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong. Yeah, yeah. So
I wrote, isn't that interesting?
Thank you. Good job.
Leave it there.
You guys are so fun. Oh my goodness gracious. There could have not been another group who would have just went, eh, and we would have moved right along. But no, we took almost an hour, little under an hour to talk about this most complex and delicious meditation. So April, one last thing and then we'll move on.
Well, I had so many thoughts that I'm just going to, I'll share later or something because there's so many, but I love this book now. So
okay, we're going to talk about the books a little later. Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah. Love it. And I'm going to just mention that I love that, Steve, you have a little mountain in as your background. I just keep looking at that like, oh, that's a nice, easy mountain to climb up right there.
Exactly.
It's just so great. And I don't know. I had a whole bunch of other thoughts, but I'm actually going to just let them go. And we'll talk about, if we're going to talk about the book later, that's
we're going to talk about the book later. Yes.
Yeah.
But now let me look at, okay, you guys, this training is going to be all about adapt on the fly. Okay. So I had a plan and we've already passed it. So let me see what I want to do here. Okay. I know what we'll do. Okay. So we're shifting up the order I was going to do things because I want to give you guys a break here in a little bit. But so here's what I'd love to take a few minutes to do is for you to, I'm going to mute myself. In fact, I'm going to even remove myself from the screen. And I would like you to talk to each other and share, each one of you share with each other. Now we've got about 15 minutes. So, you know, just 2 minutes each kind of thing, right? How many of us are there? Okay, so 20 minutes. So a minute to two each. I would like you to share, what have you learned about thought in our group meditations that was like interesting to you, or kind of was one of the things that you heard that you liked? Because I'm going to be really honest with you, every group meditation gets, I mean, I think I'm going to try and teach the same thing, but it never works out that way. So as the week goes on, I realized, like Kathleen made a comment the other night, there was something I'd done with the goose, but it was only in her class. No, none of the other classes got that, right? So it's like, I would like you to share with each other the nugget that you've taken away so that we can kind of make sure everybody is on the same page-ish. Sound good? And so let's go this way. How about the person with the longest hair goes first, and the person with Ramon smiling with no hair We'll go last. Okay. So we're going to have to take a few minutes to figure out who's got the longest hair, but so I'm going to stay out of the story. I'm going to mute myself and take my picture off the screen so you guys can talk among yourselves. So why don't you unmute?
Saw everybody hiding their hair.
Lisa and Kelsey have probably the longest hair.
Yeah.
I'm happy to go.
Okay, go ahead.
I actually really loved when we talked about thought. And the thing that has been sticking in my mind is the idea of like the guiding value behind everything. So, or like what you're seeking to move towards. And I don't know how Karen explained it in all the groups, but essentially mine was love. And so it's been really helpful for me when I feel the most in my emotions and when I feel kind of like the opposite, when I feel angry, when I want to yell at people, holding on to that idea of like, okay, how can I do this from a place of love? And how can I say what I need to say in a way that guides me towards love? I've just found that it is really grounding for me. And when I can reflect back, I feel much better about myself because I can think like, oh, I was intentionally trying to hold love in my heart at that moment and I could move in that direction. So that was mine.
Hey. I'm going to need to pass for a bit. So the other Lisa has long hair and April.
Yeah, I think I'm not quite there. I'm shorter.
Okay, so for me, ironically, I have so many thoughts about thoughts. I guess what has stuck with me the most and the longest about thoughts are that thoughts are impermanent. Thoughts are just, it's like, and I love that, and I don't want to get back into the reading, but it solidified for me that thoughts are just, it's like our brain's way of making sense of our experience. And that's all they are. They're impermanent. They're, it's a story. It's, they can be changed. They're, it's like, it's this weird thing. It's a concept that is really powerful. And yet there it's fleeting. It's just like this poof. Cause it'll shift like that. It can go away. We can change them. And I'm fascinated by the whole idea of what a thought is. But how Karen has taught for me, what has sunk in with me is just the impermanence of thought. And it has helped me because I can remember that, oh, that's not me. It's just a thought. It's this thing. It's this fleeting little, I think of it almost like a thought bubble because it's this thing outside of me in some ways. It's like, it's just out here and it can pop. It can float away. I can blow it away. I can change it. So the impermanence of what a thought is.
Yeah. Have you guys seen this before? This is the first time I met Karen and I still have it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So netty, netty, netty all the time.
Yeah.
I will jump in with continuing on that, one that stuck with me this week is just because I have the thought doesn't mean it's true. And, you know, I have a lot of feelings attached to thoughts down the rabbit hole, you know, I can go. So that one really this week felt like it got in a little bit more. And same with Kelsey, that idea is the thought I'm having moving me toward that. You know, for me, I was wanting comfort and sameness as I have the thought, you know, kind of beating myself up about something. Is that bringing me comfort and sameness? Well, of course not, but I've come back to it many times this week. So that has been,
has been really helpful about those pesky thoughts. Next hair length.
Oh, I guess I'll jump back in so I don't get out of line. But the one thing that just really quickly I've been researching a lot in the reading this week is the thought. It's about the suffering and how my thoughts create my suffering and how I put that like a thought bubble as a barrier in front of that pain thing. And so I'm trying to get rid of that thought and just sit in that pain. And so I'm reminded a lot of that ice cube meditation and how I immediately gave a story about the pain and wanted to separate from it. And when I could sit there in the pain and release all the thought about it, it was really small. I mean, it was intense and it hurt, but I could live through it. And I have a lot of pain in my life right now, not physical, but, and so I'm trying to not add the stories and add those thoughts and stay out of those thoughts. And I like that thought bubble analogy because you can blow it away. It's like sometimes they're attached with that line attached to you, but sometimes it's just those little other little bubbles that then you can just blow it away and all the bubbles just blow away. You know, I like that analogy. So thank you.
I don't know, Kathleen, it's me or you?
I don't know. You can go for it.
Okay. I hung on to the teaching that you do not create your thoughts. And then I sort of like ruminated on that. I'm like, well, who's creating them? And like, why now? And why this? But then right back to like what April was saying, or several of you, the neti, neti, neti. You were not your thoughts. So then I was thinking, more I'm like, oh, we're a conduit for the thoughts. Like you're not creating them. They're kind of going through you, washing through you. But I'm sort of questioning that. I like the visualization of the thought bubble where you can like, Lisa in Oregon was saying, you can kind of blow it away or, you don't have to, it doesn't have to go through you. You don't have to experience it. You can like recognize it and push it, blow it before you're the conduit for it.
I just repeating probably everything, but the neti, neti, neti has been, kind of my thing for a while. And I've been working, I don't know, on this probably for a good year, year and a half. And it all comes down to, right, I'm the author of my own story. So the thought and writing my own story. So when the thoughts come in, is this true? Is this really true? No. And rewriting the story around those thoughts. And I mean, even, you know, traumas, rewriting the story around it, and which is about thought, I guess, all in a sense, but rewriting my story, those, it just doesn't fit me anymore. So, but you know, I, as good as I've gotten at this, this past weekend, I think it was last Sunday after class. It was last Sunday night. I got myself all caught up in something and it took me about 24 hours to rewrite my story. So it's challenging for yourself. I'm great at giving advice for this stuff.
Yep.
All right. So I think it's me. Well, it's getting down, it's getting easier now. So I think the biggest takeaway for me has been letting go of the idea of putting a judgment on the thought. Like it's a good thought, it's a bad thought, it's a, you know, it's a negative thought or whatever, and just let it be what it is. And like that, like you, some of you are saying that story around them, that we, you know, there's all this, well, we're going to be a positive thinker. Well, that's just a whole, that's just a activity around it, you know, and to just let things be as they will be.
Right.
Is that it, Brenda?
Yeah.
Next. So thank you for saying that, Brenda, and also I don't know who said about just because I have the thought, it doesn't mean it's true. It's such a powerful statement. What I wrote after Tuesday meditation, it's can I step back and just look at my thoughts? Are they feeding my goal or not?
Right.
And I think it goes back to, right, that we can choose the thoughts, and what Lisa in Oregon was saying about how our thoughts do create our suffering, 100%. And how powerful they are. It just blows me away. And yet, to realize that we might have a power to change them, it also blows my mind out. I don't know how to do it yet, but it's hopeful. So, but yeah, kind of taking a moment and just asking, does it feed my goal? That's huge. Thank you.
Steve, I think you're up. Yeah. You have longer hair.
Should have shaved my head earlier today. Let's see. The thought. I guess I'll turn to the reading and everything prior to that. I think there's reference in the reading that like the thoughts almost being monstrous or monsters or something.
Yeah.
And so I'm beginning to get that through the practice, you can, you know, rise above that and gain insight, and that, you know, again, getting back to what Kathleen, the basic, you're not your thoughts. And, you know, understand something above and beyond what these thoughts are, and get above that to what's really going on. So enough on that. I think I like the analogies of the thought bubble. Lisa in Oregon and the suffering, because those are kind of like the monstrous thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
One issue around the impermanence of thoughts for me is there's a type of thought, I guess, that can just descend on me, like in a theater, like, you know, it's like, it's just a scene is set, and it's not a bubble. It does not seem impermanent to me. It seems constant. Probably isn't. So it's not like I can just watch it fade, you know, and disappear, because it's just there. So those are my thoughts about thoughts.
I think I'm going to echo a lot of the things you guys already said. I think for me, it's been the ability to look at my thoughts and see whether they're supporting my goal. And what I've noticed with that is, and I've always wondered this about folks who are in the spiritual path, is whether I see a lot of people, they pause a lot. Like when you speak to someone who's on the spiritual path, they speak very slowly. And I've always been wondering, are they pausing to figure out what their thoughts are and figure whether it's supporting what they're trying to do? So that's always stuck with me. And that's kind of, and I've heard Lisa has said it, and Kelsey has said it as well, and Mishka. It's kind of that ability to just kind of see whether your thoughts are supporting what you're trying to get to. So, I mean, that's been my biggest takeaway. I've been working on that for a while, though. I've been trying to look at what I'm thinking and what I'm saying, and whether if what I'm saying is matching what I want my end goal to be. Am I talking about someone? Am I doing it to benefit someone? Or am I doing it to just kind of make myself feel better?
Mm-hmm.
What that goal is. But the thing is, it does take, you think about everything, and you kind of, why am I saying this? Am I saying that to help? Am I saying this to just make myself feel good? Is it something? It's just funny. But I've always wondered if that's what these folks, these other folks are doing. Are they kind of looking at their thoughts and kind of see if they're aligning with what they're trying to accomplish?
It's funny that you say that, Ramon. I have little signs around my house that say pause on them.
Yeah.
Because for me, right, it's, you know, I'm just always wanting, you know,
yeah.
Here it is. But do I really? Or, you know, am I just spouting something? And
what's crazy about it is that when you're at work, right, you can't really do that. You can't, it's, I find it difficult at work because you can't do that. You can't, you know, you can't be like, let me pause for a second and see whether.
Right.
So I find myself having to find these little nuggets of situations where I can actually kind of sit down and think about things. And then kind of, if I'm leading the call, then I can actually control the pace at which things are going. But if I'm not, other people are just kind of jumping in rapid fire. You're kind of thinking, well, let me think about that for a second before. So I guess my thing is I always notice how this kind of thing, these kind of paying attention to your thoughts kind of make you a little bit slower in a sense because you're actually thinking about Right. You're actually being thoughtful about what you're saying.
I think I got the pause thing from a class that I think Karen did. She made us pause and it was like this, you know, uncomfortable, you know, because everybody's silent.
That's, yeah.
Interesting, because I learned pause way back in, you know, sales 101, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
But it was to make people feel uncomfortable.
Exactly.
So I don't like to do that, right?
Yeah. Well, think about it. People always try to fill the time, right? Fill the time. No one can just sit there and, you know, and
exactly
pause for a second and think about what's, yeah. So I just find that very interesting. And I think that for me, I think that's been for the last few years. It's always been like, am I saying what I'm thinking in line with what I want to,
right?
With what I'm trying to accomplish. Anyway.
Perfect
time. You guys are so amazing. Truly, truly. It has just been delightful to listen to you talking amongst yourselves about this and the level of your awareness. And I'm just blown away by you all. And only because it was the last thing that was said, there was lots I could have responded to, but I think the key thing, Ramon, that you're bringing up is that when we become meditators, we become less reactive.
Yeah.
And so that pausing, that, you know, now Eckhart Tolle, if you've ever seen Eckhart Tolle talk, it's
it's like, dude.
It's like, dude, yeah, exactly. You know, I got 10 minutes, right? And so he's like the far end example of somebody who's just kind of, he's living in that other awareness, and he's totally unreactive. He's really responding, and he's not responding just to the words. He's responding on all levels and waiting to see. And so you'll get there. I actually got there once and I didn't like it because I feel like the world, my kids, my family, everybody. And I actually was on a call with my teachers and I said, I'm a little nervous. I'm going into Thanksgiving and I'm in this place where I'm just kind of, it wasn't a lot to say, right? And how am I going to navigate Thanksgiving with my family? And she was great. And she just said, she's from a really loud family, which I'm from a really loud family. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that's, it's okay. It's okay. And so, yeah. Responsive. It'll become natural at some point. So, on that note, I think you guys, that was fabulous discussion. I was really impressed. I think we should take a 10-minute break and then let's come back. And we've got quite a few things I'd like to do before we end today. And one of them, of course, is to talk about the readings, the ones I meant you to read, right? So what do we come back on the hour? 9 o'clock our time, 11 o'clock Central Time. Sound good?
Yeah.
All right.